It is 3:06 on the Mike McFeely Show on the mighty 790 KFGO. Coming up later this hour, we will check in to Devil's Lake, North Dakota, see if they are making ice. My favorite phrase in late November, making ice. And then at 4:35, United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp, she's doing a little mini tour of the state with an undersecretary of the Department of Agriculture, and she's pushing a farm bill. She's trying to tell people that there's going to be a farm bill done, and that would only be good for the state of North Dakota. So Senator Heidi Heitkamp at 4:35. But before we get to all of that, we need to bring in the most important person of the last 2 hours of the Mike McFeely Show. He is a columnist for the Star Tribune newspaper in Minneapolis and a talk show host on 1500 ESPN. He is a good friend of this program. His name is Jim Suhan, and he joins us now on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
You know what? Like I said, we're making ice. That's my favorite term because it means I can go ice fishing soon, which shows you, a big city guy, just how slow things are out in the country out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would not fish on ice, near ice, or for ice.
Fishing for ice is actually quite fun, believe it or not. Let's start with the Vikings. Vikings-Packers on Sunday, Jim. And I've told my listeners that in this area, I do not remember a Vikings-Packers game that has had less buzz about it, because it just doesn't seem like anybody's interested about this game on Sunday for multiple reasons. Are you getting the same feeling in the Twin Cities?
Oh, absolutely. Usually we really gear up for Viking-Packer games, and usually probably my favorite event of the year, unless I cover the Masters or something like that, is going to Lambeau Field for a Viking-Packer game. It's the atmosphere, the history, the rivalry, everything. And so many games turn out to be fascinating. And this doesn't feel like any of that. I came up here to cover the Vikings in 1990, and I do think this is the least anticipated game. They had some teams in the early 90s, when the Vikings were having a bad year and they were playing at Milwaukee County Stadium. There might not have been great, but really, you might have to go back to the 80s to find a quarterback matchup worse than Scott Foldeen versus Christian Ponder. And, the Packers are still in it, so it does mean something to them. It's pretty meaningless to the Vikings. It is amazing how little buzz there is around this game right now.
But I think that even Packer fans know that they might be in it, but they're really not in it because they have Tolzien playing quarterback and not Aaron Rodgers. I have, like we all do, we know people in Green Bay, or we have friends who follow the Packers or cover the Packers, and I get the same sense out of Green Bay that they're just dreading. They're going to beat the Vikings, I think, but they're dreading the rest of the season because they don't have their big gun at quarterback. They're learning what it's like to be a Vikings fan or a fan in Minneapolis of football right now.
That was the subject of my column that will appear in the Sunday paper. This is how the rest of the world lives, Packer fans. You don't just have two quarterbacks for a period of 25 years or whatever who are both going to the Hall of Fame. You actually have to scramble around and find some idiot off the street who might be able to complete a forward pass, and it ruins your season, and everybody gets depressed, and you try again the next year. We don't know when Rodgers is going to come back. He's not going to play this Sunday. My guess is he won't play on a short week. Next week, probably comes back the week after that. If Tolzien can beat the Vikings, and maybe they steal another victory, then the Packers, the division's mediocre enough, the Packers still be in it. But they can't just go winless while Tolzien's in there. They need to. So this is actually, for them, kind of an important game.
Christian Ponder, it was announced by Leslie Frazier, is going to start at quarterback, Jim, as you mentioned. And I think when Frazier said that earlier this week at his press conference, even though the options behind Ponder are not great, I think that most Vikings fans were shocked after watching last week's game and watching how badly Ponder played that Frazier would go back to him. Were you surprised, or do you know some stuff inside that there are just no options for Leslie to go to at quarterback right now?
I was shocked, and I know for a fact that a lot of people in the locker room were shocked. Nobody wants to see Christian Ponder play quarterback ever again. Nobody, ever, ever. I think Samantha Ponder's given up on it at this point. It's just awful. It's awful to watch, and there's no point in it. They know that he's gone. They know he's not going to be part of the future. So my argument all along has been, if you're trying to win immediately, then you start Castle. He's probably the best of the three if you want to win this Sunday. If you are looking to the future, then you take a chance on Freeman, even though he was terrible in his only Vikings outing. you know, there is a history there. There's a chance that he could get it back at some point. And you brought him in here for exactly that reason, just to roll the dice and see if he had something here. I don't know the rationale behind starting Ponder. I really don't. I've had people tell me that Freeman has not been very good in practice, that they're afraid to put him out there right now. They want to get him out there eventually, but there's no rush. I can buy that. That's a legitimate internal reason not to play him. I don't know why Ponder over Castle if you're not going to play Freeman. Castle's better. We have the elephant in the room is the idea of tanking. You know, playing Christian Ponder the rest of the season would help you tank, maybe get the first pick in the draft. But I just don't think Leslie Frazier thinks that way. And I don't think that Rick Spielman would tell Leslie Frazier to play Christian Ponder to tank the season. So we're all kind of lost down here as to why they're doing this, frankly.
Well, it also wouldn't help Leslie Frazier because, in all honesty, he's fighting to keep his job now. I mean,
he's
not going to tank the season to help somebody else next year get a first-round draft choice. It's just not the way it works.
That's exactly right.
I do need to interject something here, Jim, so hang on. But we are getting messages in from Bismarck, North Dakota, saying that the University of Mary in Bismarck has declared an emergency lockdown. The message that I was forwarded here in the studio says, it comes from the campus itself. It says, please secure yourself in a safe, locked room. More information to follow. So breaking news out of Bismarck, the University of Mary is on emergency lockdown. Students are asked and staff are asked to please secure themselves in a safe, locked room. More to come on that on KFGO. Jim Suhan, our guest in the Mike McFeely Show, he's a columnist for the Star Tribune newspaper. You can read his work at StarTribune.com. What is going to happen? Well, we've talked about this multiple times, Jim, but if you are the Vikings and you are a Vikings fan, you really don't want them to win. I mean, right now it's 2-14 or 3-13 is what you really want out of this deal. And I think, by the way, the Vikings are going to fulfill that destiny for themselves because they're just not very good. But does this damage the franchise in the long run? Does it damage them for next season in terms of fan base or the stadium? Is there any repercussions for being as bad as they are this year?
No, I don't think so at all. They were terrible. They were 3-13 2 years ago, and they didn't fire Leslie Frazier, and they got the stadium deal done, and they came back and went to the playoffs the next year. This is, it's really been a terrible season. We all know that. But the NFL is built to allow teams to turn around quickly. And if you get a good rookie quarterback, bang, you can turn around really quickly. I mean, last year, the Redskins and the Colts both made the and the Seahawks all made the playoffs with rookie quarterbacks. You can change that quickly. It's getting to be a little bit older roster. One more, a good draft could help turn things around. If your first two picks next year are a star quarterback and either a dynamic middle linebacker or a dynamic cornerback or dynamic pass rusher, you could turn around really quickly. You also get the favorable strength of schedule under those circumstances. So no, I don't see any long-term damage. And really, as bad as the season has been, I think in general, the Wilfs have been good owners. I think in general, Rick Spielman has done a pretty good job. He missed on the quarterback, and he missed on cornerbacks, which is tough to recover from this league. But he's been, in general, not a bad general manager. And, Leslie, when he had a chance last year, got them probably as far as they could possibly go, which is 10 victories. So it's not like it's a bunch of incompetence running the show and it's all just, and they have no chance. It's just been a bad season.
Last question, Jim, I'll let you go. But several weeks ago, you wrote a column about Jerry Kill and his epilepsy and how you believe that Jerry Kill's epilepsy wouldn't allow him to continue as the head coach of the Minnesota Gophers. And it was a big controversy in the Twin Cities, and your editor wussed out on you and wrote an apology to all the readers of the Star Tribune, didn't back you. But since then, the Gophers have improved as a football team. They found a way with Tracy Clase on the sidelines and Jerry Kill in the press box to win some football games and beat some beatable teams. Jerry Kill had an interview with Dennis Dodd, I believe, of CBSSports.com. And Dennis Dodd, being a good reporter, asked Jerry Kill what he thought of the whole situation and what you wrote about him. And I believe Jerry Kill's comment was, he can kiss my ass, referring to you.
Yeah.
I thought it a bit over the top, first of all. And second of all, I thought the point that you made was fair. And I thought that you had outlined in the column that Kill himself had said that if I can't coach an entire game, then I know that I can't be in this position. So I think that he admitted that what you wrote was true in a way. What's your reaction to Jerry Kill telling you to kiss his butt, Jim?
You know, he's acting an awful lot like a football coach. And if you win, you know, we say this about history in the history books. Victors get to write the history books. Well, when you win, you get to offer whatever version of the story you want. You know, Jerry said this summer that he couldn't keep going. And I actually found the interview interesting for a different reason than the kiss my butt line. He said this summer he couldn't keep going like this. He couldn't stay on the job if he couldn't be on the sideline. I had a long talk with him after the column ran, and it was an off-the-record kind of conversation, so I won't reveal the exact content, but let's just say that the tone was the exact opposite of the tone in that in Dennis Dodd's column. I actually had a great talk. I thought we had a great talk, and apparently he's decided now that we did not have a very good talk. But I think the crux of this is he kept on telling us and his bosses for the last couple of years, I'm doing everything I can to get this under control. I'm taking care of myself. I'm dedicated to making this work. And then he comes out, now that he's winning and has loosened up a little bit with the national media, he's told several national media outlets, oh, yeah, I was sleeping 2.5 hours a night, not eating dinner, eating peanuts and popcorn for dinner, not taking care of myself at all. I mean, he basically admits in these articles that, you know, it's tough when you talk about a disease, but he basically admits he wasn't taking good care of himself, and that could have contributed to his health problems this year, which I think, if I'm his boss, let's put it this way, if I'm his boss and he's not, and he hasn't won 4 straight games and he admits that, his job's probably on the line. But winning solves everything.
Well, but let's be honest here. He's beaten Northwestern, Indiana, a bad Nebraska team, and who else? Another not very good. It's not like he's beaten, you know, Alabama and LSU. So is it a case of maybe getting a little full of himself a little bit earlier with the game against Wisconsin coming up on Saturday? I think it is.
I really do. And you know, I always say covering Gopher Athletics is different than anything else I've ever done, because pro sports, everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows it's a mercenary, brutal, cutthroat business. And, you know, we all know what's at stake. We know people are going to get fired. We know people are going to get cut. We all know the careers are short. And you just kind of hope that everybody's kind of agreeable while they're in that position. Gopher sports, it's like high school sports. It's like everybody feels like it's their kid on the court or their kid on the field. And, you know, Gopher Nation, as they call it, has rallied around Jerry and rallied around this winning streak in a way that does not allow for any contrary opinions. It's all brainwashing and, hey, we got it going now. We got our coach and screw anybody who doesn't want to believe that he can handle this disease and still coach. And winning has allowed them to get away with this idea. But, you know, what I would say is if they had found a way to lose 4 close games the last 4 weeks, they'd be looking to get rid of Jerry as fast as possible.
By the way, I referred to it as Gopher Township several years ago, and I took some heat on Gopher Hole for that, too, so I'm proud of myself on that front. So
they're a little sensitive.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim, as always. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you bet.